Hello, this is Pastor Galen from the First Nazarene Church in Chicago, and welcome to our podcast. Hey, before we hear the message today, I simply wanted to say that no matter where you're at, we're glad that you're listening today. We hope this message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. And if you live in the Chicagoland area, maybe this is the first step for you joining us in person sometime. Or if you want to, you can always check out our online live services every Sunday on our website at firstnaz.cc. Thanks again for joining us. Enjoy the message. Well, today we'll get to hear from Pastor Ethan in our sermon and our message today. Pastor Ethan is our Nazarene recreation pastor. He's doing a great job, not only running the program for all the families and kids that are in our building so much, but also being the bridge from our church to those families, and now our families coming to church as well. Maybe some of you are here today in this room or watching online because Ethan invited you, and we're so glad that you're a part of our community as well. I'm going to be listening to the message right alongside you. I can't wait to hear what God would say to us today through him. So would you put your hands together with me and join Ethan as he comes to share the message with us today.
Thank you, Galen. I know you're watching at home for preaching the sermon. I'll pray and we'll conclude the service. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Man, exciting days ahead. What an awesome, awesome time to be together here as the church. I'm just so grateful for this opportunity. A few years ago, Galen reached out to me right as he had first gotten here. So they're going through transition, the recreation pastor, and he said, "Hey, would you be interested?" And I was like, "Nah, I'm good." And then 3 months later, I'm like, God, why did I miss out on that? And fast forward to March of last year when we felt the calling to come here again, when the Lord provided another opportunity. And now to be here in this moment together and to look back at all that has happened, and even just in this last 5 months to know what God has been doing and how God's been working. There are great days ahead for this church, and it's not just because of the leadership, but it's because you're in it. And so we're so grateful that you've chosen to worship with us. So thank you so much. As Galen shared, I'm the recreation pastor here, and I love my job. I love these kids. I love this community. And some of my community is here. It's so cool that you've chosen to worship with you. And if you want to join our community, man, please let me know. I think you'd really find the value of what we do and why we do it. And I really appreciate that. So I find it interesting when he asked me to preach during this series, Words of Wisdom, because I've made a lot of unwise decisions in my life. And maybe you find yourself in a similar position. Words of Wisdom, you're like, yeah, this series will likely hit home and I'm not going to listen. But I know that I've made a lot of unwise decisions, but I've also had a lot of wise people who have spoken into my life that have made a big difference and have got me to be where I am today. And so when I think about these unwise moments that I've had, I also remind myself of all of the things that I've done and make mental notes of them so that they don't happen again. And really, it's this kind of this phrase of note to self, right? You've got those two. If you've got them, I'd love to hear them. Fill out the connection card. Throw in your note to self for me. If you're joining us online, put it in the comments. I want to hear about them. I'll give you a few of mine, but life oftentimes is full of these note to self moments. So here's a few of mine. Note to self: don't repair the washing machine alone after watching a YouTube video. It works great, but the electricity hurts, okay? The power surged, I was stuck on the outlet, and my wife just thought it was fine, like nothing was happening, like I was joking, but literally almost died that day. So note to self, don't do that. Note to self, it seems fun making a homemade zip line, but if you have no experience, your heels are gonna hurt really bad. Seemed like a great idea, 50 feet above on this rock cliff down into the water. It seemed like a great idea, but not good. Note to self, sailboating on the lake during a storm is not a good idea. In fact, it's a very bad one, and the Coast Guard will not be happy. Especially if you've had no sailing experience at all. Someone just had a boat, we have the lake, let's go. These moments probably can relate to you, and hopefully none as bad as mine, or maybe if you do have some, I mean, it's a part of your story. I'd love to hear them, but we've all got those moments, those note to self moments. And today is a great reminder for all of us. And to be honest, it might come off a little bit harsh, but the fact of the matter, it's the truth, right? You are not that sharp. I'm grateful that my wife said, neither are you. She didn't say that out loud. Thank you so much, Casey. But it's true. I'm not that sharp either. And it's really hard sometimes to swallow that pill to realize you just are not that sharp. This Words of Wisdom series is a great reminder for us. And to be in a baseball lineup, right? You have the third hitter. It's usually the person they trust is going to advance the runners, really going to put people into scoring positions. Maybe he's going to drive in a run or two. Here I am, the third one in the lineup for the series, falling behind Jeff Stark and Rob Evans. And it's some tough acts to follow. And then that announcement, and here we are today, and I'm bringing the message to you, you are not that sharp. Not looking so good to start off the day. My prayer is that you leave today encouraged, because really, even though you might find yourself understanding, and myself included, you are not that sharp, we have to understand that you don't have to do it alone. You really don't. And not only that, you are not that sharp, and that is okay, but here is what we, and I use the word we because as the church, here's what we are going to do about it. Now, we've spent some time in Proverbs over these first 2 weeks, and we'll spend some time in Proverbs as well, but I want to read from Hebrews chapter 10. I read from the New Living Translation version. Wherever you choose, you can read it. I'm grateful for that. I'll read it in New Living Translation so you can see it. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with a sincere heart, fully trusting in him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. You are not that sharp, and that is okay. How many of you enjoy vacuuming? By show of hands, there's three people. That's great. Brenda, I saw you, and I would imagine Brenda would enjoy vacuuming. I love you, Brenda. But I like vacuuming. It's probably my favorite household chore to do other than cutting the grass, but I enjoy vacuuming. But probably you've had a similar experience, right? You specifically and strategically have figured out, if I plug the vacuum into this one place, I can hit three rooms, and I can hit them well. And most of the time, it's like a plug in the hallway. Our upstairs hallway does not have a plug, so I'm in the bathroom, and I can hit the bathroom tile floor. I can hit two bedrooms. But there's a corner of my daughter's room that it just doesn't quite get to. And the further and further I go, the more and more tension builds on that cord. And oftentimes, I'm like laying down, just trying to get it, when all I have to do is just simply unplug and move to a different outlet. But it's pretty true, and it has a pretty great spiritual connection. See, the distance and the connection fades when we distance ourselves, even more so when we distance ourselves from God. And maybe spiritually, we get to these moments when we are plugged into God, we're great, things are going good, things are great, and then it gets to the part, and it's a little further outside of the reach, and maybe it's somewhere we don't even need to go. And we find ourselves in this position where we get disconnected, and we just pack it up, and we're on to the next thing. I know I've been there before. Maybe you have too. But that disconnection, it hurts the relationship we have with Jesus Christ. So maybe, like my vacuum story, maybe your intentions were good, but maybe they were unnecessary. So the further you get from the connection, the further you get from that plugged-in moment, the harder it is to stay connected. And even though you have power until the cord breaks or it unplugs from the wall, then it begins to lose its intentionality and its purpose. The same thing is to be said about our walk with Christ. But there are three things that I want to share with you that seem so cliche and seem so basic, but it is so true when it comes to our connection with Christ. So understand these three things: that God sees you, that God hears you, and that God loves you. Seems so basic, but it is so true. And in the moments when we've chosen to either disconnect ourselves or the chaos of life have stretched us thin to the point where we've just find ourselves lost or away from God, those three reminders maybe are what you needed to hear today. And I share those with you because of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 20 through 22. Again, it says, by his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty conscience have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. See, wisdom comes to those who stay connected to God, and in order to remain sharp, we have to stay connected to him. See, how can we expect the vacuum to continue working when it is unplugged from the wall? How can we expect God to continue to speak wisdom and discernment and guidance in our lives when we are disconnected and we've chosen to walk away? How can we expect those things to take place? Oftentimes, we fail to even recognize that we're disconnected in the first place. We're so caught up in the moment. We're so focused on the place that doesn't get vacuumed. And then when the disconnection happens, we just forget about it and on to the next thing. See, no matter how sharp we think we are, no life experience, no amount of money, no valor, no position, nothing can compare to the connection that we have with God through the relationship of Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection. So how do we stay connected? There's got to be a solution. It makes sense to unplug and find somewhere else to go as long as God is in it. But the fact of the matter is, just as the connection fades when we distance ourselves, the connection strengthens when we meet together. Do you feel it when you come in on a Sunday? Do you experience it when you join with your group on a Wednesday or a Thursday morning out on the golf course or on a late Thursday night with the mom's group in my house when you're up and just chatting till 9:45 about who knows what? I know that they're experiencing it and I'm ready for bed. But God shows up when our expectation is that God is going to be there. And God shows up in your life when you allow for that connection to be there and you choose to meet with other people. I firmly believe that the influence of our meeting together is much more impactful than we think. And there's nothing wrong with the checked off box on the connection card that you are here and that you're a regular attender. Those things are great. But don't get me wrong, those things are just as important, but the more important part is that our church needs to be a meeting space where people that come with broken things in their lives that need restoration, where moments of hope can be given to those that are hopeless, to the times where those of us who are seeking wisdom can find it, and to do so together, because remind yourself, you are not that sharp, and that is okay. But here's what we're going to do about it. So the hard part is oftentimes we come with these stories, these moments in life where we've chosen to disconnect and we feel like there's no way that anyone can relate to us. So hear me out when I share this with you today. No matter what your life story holds, there's a place for you here. We mean that. As a representation of our staff, as a representation of this church, we truly believe when we say these things, when we share these words of wisdom, that that is truly what we believe here for you in this place. It's been an incredible last year as I've gotten to know some of you and to hear a little bit of your story. But to remind you today, right here and now, no matter what you've experienced in life, no matter how disconnected your life has been, no matter what you've done to disconnect yourself from God or from this place, your story matters, and you are welcomed here. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 again says these things, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. We can be encouraged by a variety of different things, and maybe you're encouraged by the message, maybe you're encouraged by the music or the opportunity to give, but each of you, you and I included, we play a vital role in encouraging others. See, the best part of encouragement that comes for me sometimes is just watching you. It's seeing what you do. It's seeing how you treat other people. It's seeing how you go out of your way to make someone feel special, and I'm encouraged each and every week. And almost daily, as I step out on the rec fields and I have the opportunity to serve alongside of those people. I was just talking with my wife. It's so weird to consider myself a boss over these other individuals because I just love doing ministry with them. This summer, we had 550 participants and over 115 coaches. And of those 115 coaches, maybe 110 of them have no connection to our church at all. And if you think about it, they are doing the work of Jesus Christ by using an opportunity that we provide, a ministry of First Nazarene, to use sports and talents and ministries and camps to provide a safe place for our families to grow. And here are unchurched people doing church things, and I'm encouraged by that. And not only do they do it, but they do it really well. I learn from them. I watch them. I see their engagement. I see the emails that we're attached in as they encourage each other. I see the group pictures that they take, and I'm encouraged by that. And so next Sunday, we have an opportunity to encourage them as they step foot again back onto our campus as we've wrapped up the session, or we'll wrap up the summer session on Tuesday night, but to congratulate them and to thank them and to welcome them and let them know that there's a place for them here, and their story matters too. I would love for you to partner with us. And maybe that's just not your thing, and that is okay, but I hope that you hear the message of what I'm sharing. See, wisdom comes when you choose to share it with other people, but wisdom is not heard if no one shares it. You might be the wisest person in the room, but if no one knows it because you've not shared it, then what good does it do? So thinking of that question, you are not that sharp, or that reminder, you are not that sharp, and that is okay, but here's what we're going to do about it. I've heard a lot of great definitions of wisdom over these last couple of weeks. Some of the pastors have shared some incredible things, and I've been grateful for that. And I've come to understand this, that wisdom comes from a learned experience where we walk away from a situation with understanding that choices can be made that will better you or better someone else. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is not the loudest voice in the room. Wisdom is not the newest thing. Wisdom is not XYZ. Wisdom is something that makes a difference in your life or someone else's life. And the spiritual wisdom that we get on any chance that we have to meet is one that draws someone closer to Christ rather than pushes them further and further away. And I will be the first to admit that sometimes the wisdom that I've brought is nothing more than just a loud perspective. I can attest to that, and maybe you can too. But during this week, I really began to think about it. During my preparation, there was a song called Note to Self, and I really thought about what those lyrics were behind it. And it talked about doing things we probably should be doing, or reminding ourselves of the things that we have and how we need to hold true to those things. And I really began to think about what church looks like for us. And if our connection with God decreases when we find ourselves unplugging, but our connection increases when we meet together, I find myself really kind of considering, what does church mean for us and how does it make a difference? So I found myself with this phrase: what if our weekly gatherings looked more and more like show and tell and less like an all-school assembly? Do you get that? What if every week we came into this place, or we came into our group, we entered into our conversations with something to share with someone, and maybe it's a new person that you've never met before, but you brought whatever it is that you had that was going on this week that you knew God was speaking to you, or something that you've experienced that could provide wisdom for someone else, and you laid that in front of them and shared that with them? And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with coming in here, sitting and marking that checked off box that you're here. It's great. We're so glad that you're here. And oftentimes in those all-school assemblies, they provide the escape plan to get you out of a difficult time, and that is important too. But what would happen if our church started to share? Think back to that moment of show and tell for you. What was it? For me, it was third grade, and I had stolen a can of Barbasol, shaving cream from my dad's, the bathroom, whatever is that thing called? Closet, what is that word I'm looking for? Thank you very much. And I stole it right out of there, and I put it in my book bag, and everyone's going around the room. This kid brought in a turtle. Like, how do you compete with that? I don't even know how he snuck it in. And it gets to me, and I whip it out, and I put it on the teacher's desk. I start to shake it up. I'm like, what's going to happen next? And I, and the teacher's allowing it, so I'm like, I'm going to start pushing some boundaries. I'm going around a desk and hitting everyone's desk, and they're getting it, and the room starts to fill with that smell, and it's a good smell. And I liked shaving cream because it smelled good, and I hoped one day I had a great mustache, but really you could draw with it, it cleaned, it sanitized, and it was fun. So everyone's got it on their desk, and it was, I'll be honest, I think I beat the turtle that day. Not everyone could hold that turtle, but you get where I'm going. It was an experience for each and every one of us. And maybe next Sunday you want to bring something in for show and tell, I'm down. Let's do it. If you're bringing in something, I'm as long as it's not a snake, that's cool. But if you want to physically bring something in to share with me, let's do it. But if you've got something that you've experienced, if you've got something that God has placed on your heart, or you've gone through something in life and you think that it can bring a difference to someone else's life, by all means, share it. Again, wisdom is not heard if you don't share it. So what would our weekly gatherings look like if it began to look more and more like show and tell and less like that all-school assembly? The fact of the matter is that the connection becomes way more consistent when there's accountability. When you and I come in here, or you and I enter into a smaller group setting, and we find ourselves being vulnerable with people to say, this is what's going on, these are the unwise decisions, these are the things that God is still working on me with. I want to point you back to Proverbs chapter 12, verses 15 through 16. It says, the way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. I know that there are things that annoy me and test my patience, and that oftentimes is what life can be. It can be full of those moments. But when you have a trusted group of people that you can share life with, it makes wisdom a lot easier to learn. And I don't know about you, but I don't like going through moments where I have to learn wise decisions based on unwise ones. I would much rather go through life sitting beside people that continue to make wise decisions and listen to their forms of encouragement and things that they've done to help me get to the place where I need to be so that I can stay closer to God, that I can stay connected, that I can come into a place and be strengthened like here or a small group, whatever the case might be. Every staff meeting, we start off with the same question, and you get to hear a little behind the scenes of what the pastoral life is like on a weekly basis. We start off every small group with the question of, what is God saying to you? And pastors, I think I'm honest by saying this, oftentimes we come in unprepared to answer that question. And the reason being is there's a specific purpose, because that moment of, even though we know that this question is coming, it causes us to stop and reflect and think back, what has God done this week for me? What is God doing in the ministries that we are overseeing? What is God doing in the stories and the lives of you? And we get to share those, and we're encouraged by them, or we get to talk about some of the difficulties or things that we could use some additional prayer for. And so I share that question with you today because it's a great reminder for all of us that God is speaking, but are you listening? Again, God sees you, God hears you, and God loves you. But for us, it's an opportunity to just stop and reflect on what God has done that week. And oftentimes, it's a reminder for us that God is in the business of opening doors. But also, God isn't just opening doors. It's not that he's just opening doors, but that God is directing people to the doors that have already been opened, but maybe they just haven't walked in it and they've just walked past. Maybe that's you today. Maybe there's a person that you've walked by constantly and you know that God's giving you nudges to get to that person and speak to them. Maybe there's a ministry God wants you to step into to use the gifts and abilities that he has given you to benefit those groups and those people. We use this concept often in ministry because it helps us to be together. And it's this group and this finite, small group of individuals that keep us accountable, and it's a pretty fancy thing called accountability partners. I mean, it's just a one-of-a-kind word, right? So these accountability partners are people that can hold you accountable to your walk with Christ. Some of the best accountability partners I've ever had don't even know that they're my accountability partner. Just as I shared with encouragement, they're people that walk by me. They're people that I notice. But those of which who are my accountability partners, we can be real and honest with each other. We can share what it is that God is doing in our lives. And coming up soon, our life groups for early fall, the book will be coming out. And it's going to be full of activity-based opportunity and devotional-based opportunity and everywhere in between. And my prayer is this, that you would find yourself connecting to someone who can keep you accountable. So it asks the question, who is keeping you accountable? Is it God, which is great? But are there people that you can be vulnerable with? Gracie's going to come out, and in just a moment, we're going to have a chance to respond. And it's an opportunity for us to take the things we've already learned in these first 2 weeks, or maybe the things that you've learned in your entire life, and considering these words of wisdom, to think about, okay, God, how is my connection? Am I strengthened because I choose to be strengthened on a weekly basis? Am I vulnerable? Are there people that I choose to let me be accountable to? Even though that question of, or that statement of, you are not that sharp, trying to remain sharp becomes less and less of a task when the connection becomes more of a desire and not just a requirement. My prayer is this, and this words of wisdom, and this series, and this moment of transition leading into us welcoming in Galen as the head pastor here at First Nazarene Church, that we'd start to be a church that sees each other, but that knows each other, and that shares with each other that God loves them. So as Gracie plays and leads us into a song, maybe whatever it is, wherever you are, wherever you find yourself today, that God would speak some wisdom into your heart. And however you choose to respond, maybe it's rekindling your relationship with Christ, maybe it's taking a next step and doing something about it, or maybe it's just strengthening your relationship with some people in this church. Pray that you would respond. Would you listen today?
Hey, thanks again for joining us for the First Naz podcast. If you're interested in what your next step in growing your relationship with God might look like, I'd encourage you to visit us at firstnaz.cc/engage, or you can download our app from the App Store, First Nazarene Church. And there you can let us know if you've made a decision for Jesus, or you can also find practical resources to help you grow closer to Jesus. I'd also invite you to subscribe to the podcast if you're not already, to make sure that you've always got the latest content. And if you want to, feel free to share this on your social accounts. You never know who else might need to hear today's message as well. Well, thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.